With the shrieks and shouts rising to a roar of vengeance and anger, Jessica moved quickly into the guarded structure. Gurney and the remaining Fedaiken closed a heavy door behind them, greatly diminishing the crowd noise. The cavernous building had been swept and cleared for her arrival, and now it echoed with emptiness. "What happened, Stilgar? Who wants me dead?" "Some people wish only to cause harm, and any target will do. They want to hurt others as they have been hurt." His voice was dark with disapproval. "Even when Muad'Dib was alive, there was much turmoil, resentment, and discontent. People are weak and do not understand." Gurney looked carefully at Jessica to make certain she was not injured. "Angry people lash out wildly, and some will blame you as the mother of Muad'Dib. That's who I am, for good or ill." The terminal building looked brighter than she remembered, but not much different. A fresh coat of paint and more decorations, perhaps. She didn't recall seeing so many Atreides hawks on the walls the last time. Paul's doing, or Elia's? New alcoves displayed statues of Muad'Dib in various heroic poses. Stilgar led them up a staircase to the rooftop landing platform, where a gray armored ornithopter sat waiting for them. "This will take you to the protection of this citadel. You are in good hands now." Without further words, Stilgar hurried away, anxious to get back to the crowds and to investigate the explosion. A man strode toward them, dressed in a stillsuit marked with Atreides green and black. The face mask hung loose. A chill of amazed recognition ran down her spine. "Lady Jessica, welcome back to Dune. Much has happened since the time I died here." Gurney shouted his own disbelief. "Gods below! Duncan?" The man was almost an exact duplicate of Duncan Idaho. Even his voice was perfect. Only the gray, metallic eyes distinguished him from the original. "In the flesh, Gurney Halleck. Gola flesh. But the memories are mine." He extended his right hand, but Gurney hesitated. "Or are you the one that Lilaxu call Hate?" Hate was a Gola without his memories. A biological machine programmed to destroy Paul Atreides. "I am no longer that one. I'm Duncan Idaho again. The same old Duncan. The boy who worked in the old Duke's bull stables on Caladan. The young man who trained on Ganaz to become a swordmaster. The man who protected Paul from House Moritani assassins and fought to liberate Ix from the Tlilaxu." He offered Jessica a sheepish smile. "And, yes, the man who got drunk on spice beer and blurted to everyone awake in the Arrakeen residency that you were a Harkonnen traitor, my lady." Jessica met his strange eyes. "You also gave your life so Paul and I could escape after Dr. Kynes's base was raided." She could not drive away the memory of the original Duncan falling under a flurry of Sardaukar dressed in Harkonnen uniforms. Seeing the Gola gave her an unsettled feeling, as if time had folded in on itself. Now this Duncan gestured toward the thopter, inviting them to climb aboard. Despite its thick armor, the large aircraft had a luxurious interior. When she entered the passenger compartment, Jessica was startled to see Aaliyah seated, facing her direction.
"Thank you for coming, Mother. I need you here."
Seemingly embarrassed by the admission, she added,
"We all do."
The teenager's coppery hair was long, and her face thinner than before, making her blue-within-blue eyes look larger.
"Of course I came."
Jessica took a seat beside her daughter.
"I came for Paul, for you, and for my new grandchildren. Tragedy brings us together. When convenience fails to do so," Gurney recited. No one is ever completely forced into his position in life. We all have opportunities to take different paths. Conversations with Muad'Dib by the Princess Irulan. Inside the Thopter, Jessica was surprised when Duncan sat close to Aaliyah rather than taking the pilot's controls, leaving that particular task to a Fremen guard. Smiling, Aaliyah touched his arm with genuine warmth, an obvious romantic bond. So much had changed on Dune, and in House Atreides. "Of course, you will want to see that the twins are safe, Mother." Aaliyah turned to Duncan. "Tell the pilot to use the west landing pad. We'll go directly to the creche." The boy and girl, Paul's children, would never know their father. The twins were the heirs of Muad'Dib, the next step in a new dynasty. Political pawns. Her grandchildren. Have they been named yet? Did Paul... My brother gave them names as one of his last acts before he left. The boy is Leto, named after our father. The girl is called Ghanima.
Ghanima? Gurney sat back with a frown, recognizing the Fremen term.
A spoil of war? Paul insisted. Hera was there with Chaney at the end, and now she watches the newborn babies. Since Hera was Muad'Dib's Ghanima after he killed Jaemys, maybe he meant to honor her. We'll never know.
The Thopter flew over the huddled rooftops of Arrakeen, the hive-like homes of a disorganized, passionate, desperate throng. Pilgrims, opportunists, beggars, veterans of the jihad, dreamers, and those who had no place else to go. Aaliyah spoke loudly over the thrum of the engines and the whir of moving wings. She seemed energetic, frenetic.
"Now that you're here, Mother, we can proceed with Paul's funeral. It is a thing that must be done with a grandeur appropriate to Muad'Dib's greatness, enough to awe the whole Imperium."
Jessica kept her expression neutral.
"It is a funeral, not a jongleur performance." "Oh, but even a jongleur performance would be fitting, given Paul's past, don't you think?"
Aaliyah chuckled. It was clear she already had her mind set.
"Besides, it is necessary, not just for my brother's memory, but for Imperial stability. The force of Paul's personality held our government together. Without him, I've got to do whatever I can to strengthen our institutions. It's a time for showmanship, bravura. How can Muad'Dib's funeral be any less spectacular than one of the old Duke's bullfighting spectacles?"
When the girl smiled, Jessica saw a familiar echo of Leto in her daughter's face.
"We also have Chaney's water, and when it best suits us, we will conduct a ceremony for her as well. Another great spectacle."
"Wouldn't Chaney have preferred a private Fremen funeral?"
"Stilgar says the same thing, but that would be a wasted opportunity. Chaney would have wanted to assist me in any way possible. For Paul's sake, if nothing else. I was hoping I could count on you to help me, Mother."
"I am here."
Jessica looked at her daughter and felt complexities of sadness whisper through her.
"But you are not Paul."
She also knew things that her daughter did not, some of Paul's carefully guarded secrets and aspirations, especially how he viewed history and his place in it. Though Paul might have taken himself off the stage, history would not release its hold so easily. With a slow flutter of wings and the roar of jets, the Thopter landed on a flat rooftop of the extraordinary Citadel complex. Disembarking, Aaliyah strode ahead with confidence and grace to a moisture-sealed door. Jessica and Gurney followed her into an elegant enclosed conservatory with soaring clear-glass panels. Inside, the sudden humidity made Jessica catch her breath, but Aaliyah seemed not to notice the miniature jungle of moist, exotic plants that overhung the walkway. Tossing her long hair, she glanced back at her mother.
"This is the most secure area of the Citadel, so we made it into the nursery."